It's Friday, September 17th, 1999, and this is an evening talk entitled Dreams, Language of the Soul, with Lillian Van Voorhis. I thought the way I would start is to talk to you about how I actually got into noticing dreams as much as I do and making records and keeping them for years and all that stuff. And for me, that all really started when I was very young. And I would say probably when I was in early grade school or late toddler childhood thing. The first memory I have is of I couldn't wait to go to bed at night because I could go to this wonderful place where the dream world that I entered seemed as real, at least as this world, and many times much more real. I could do everything there that I couldn't do here. I could sing beautifully. I could play any musical instrument that I wanted to. As a kid, I wanted to have a harp and a piano, and that, you can imagine, went over real well with my parents. So the harp never materialized, but at night I could go to bed and make this beautiful music or go to places in the dream world where that kind of music was being played. It was very nurturing for me. And then a little bit later, my brother David and I created a world that we could go to every night. We had a name for this world, which unfortunately I don't remember. I'm hoping sometime that'll come up, but I don't recall what it was. But we could plan what we were going to do there, and we could go there in our dreams at night and do whatever activities we had planned, and then we could get up and gab about it the next morning. And David's 4 years younger than I am, so I suspect this all started probably when I was 5 or 6 years old, and he was 3 or 4. And I know that lasted for a couple of years because we loved it so much. It was a lush, beautiful, the best landscape you could ever imagine, with every kind of animal that we loved that was always friendly, and all the fairies and angels, all that good stuff that children love. And that lasted for a very long time, and then in the fourth grade, I got a diary for the first time. And so I started to record my experiences at night. And that's how I really started keeping a dream journal. I didn't know what I was doing at the time, just that was still so real to me, more real often than real life, that it helped me. And one of the things I clearly remember from about fourth grade through probably early high school is that my guardian angel would come in these dreams and often tell me about my mother. Mom and I just didn't see eye to eye a lot of the time. But this being would help me in the dream state understand that I needed to be more patient with her, that she was doing the best she could, that I needed to remember she had 4 children, not just me, you know, that kind of thing. And after that, I don't think I recorded them so well until I got married. And then in my 20s, we had just started our family, I think I was 24, and I had a series of dreams where I had a group of teachers come to me at night. I'll tell you a little bit more about this later, but that whole series of dreams in my early 20s really gave me the courage and the faith to start on the path to the work that I'm doing today. And I don't think I would have come as far as I am without that early impetus from an inner teacher, since I didn't have an external teacher. I wanted one, but that person never showed up. So, beyond that, how many of you are remembering dreams at this point in your life? Or snatches, or fragments, or some images, or feelings, or just anything, you know something's going on. Okay. Dreaming really is a soul power, and it's our soul itself that sends these letters, you might say, to us every night. And the symbols and images that we see in our dreams are really the vocabulary of our soul speaking to us. And as such, the dreams that we have do have a voice that we need to learn to listen to, because they can instruct us or warn us. They can tell us about good things that are coming up, or of things that you need to change in your life, or people that you're going to meet and you need to be prepared for. And on the deeper level, the deep dreams that come from the heaven worlds really are initiatory in nature, and they guide us further into our spiritual quest. Or if you've got your feet on the path at all, the dreams give you information on what the next step is going to be, or what you're going to be researching next, what you're going to be drawn to read or listen to, or what kind of activities you might do in the form of lectures or groups, maybe something like this, or study groups. So I can't emphasize enough how important dream life really is. It is absolutely as important as this life that we think is the real life. It really, really is. One thing I do want to mention is that any of you who have the desire to remember your dreams, or who, this has always been for me, but I know it's not true for everyone, but there are some of us who want to not waste that time just sleeping, you know. You want to remember what happens to you at night and perhaps receive instruction in the heaven worlds. Anybody who has any feeling like that is really on the initiate's path. And your guardian angel is always aware when that awakening really happens. And what happens then is that your soul and your guardian angel bring that information to a master in the heaven worlds. It could be the Master Jesus, it could be Mother Mary, it could be Master Hilarion or Kundalini or any of the other great masters in the hierarchy. And then what they do is they take you to, out of the body at night, to one of the halls of knowledge in the heaven worlds. And they are really the universities, as we think of a university here. The halls of knowledge in heaven are, it's not easy to put what I've experienced there into words here, but they are like the most vast repository of knowledge, truth, understanding, wisdom that you can imagine. Anything you are interested in can be discovered there. So it is such a great gift to have any kind of memory of that. And even if you only have snatches of recall now, you can teach yourself to regain more and more of your information as you practice. And to me, that's the exciting part about working with your dreams, is that not only do you get information about how to exist in this world, but you get information about what you're really up to while the body's here restoring itself. And the essence of who you are, your soul, or as people in the esoteric community like to say, your astral body is out, busy doing things. Okay. I'll talk a little bit more about the levels of dreaming in a little bit. One of the things that I want to share with you is Joan Grant's work. If none of you have ever read any of her things, I really recommend her work to you, because she is a person who at a very early age was able to remember her night ministry. And I'll talk about that in just a minute. But she wrote probably in the 30s and 40s. I don't know if she published anything after that. But when she was a child at the early part of this century, she had clear memory from the time she was just a toddler of leaving her body at night and going into the battlefields of World War I and working with those boys and young men who didn't understand what had happened to them. Some of them were trapped in the body. She assisted them to leave. Some of them were dead and not understanding that they were free of the body and could go home. And some of them were upset that that had happened to them. You know, they had wanted to stay here and go back to family. And she writes that as a child, she didn't always understand what that work was about, but she just knew she had to do it. She knew she was going to go to sleep every night and go help those men, whoever they were. And she had a father who was an archaeologist and did a lot of digging in Egypt, and he never denied her experience. He always listened. So anyway, I recommend her work. I can't recall what she called her process, something like far memory or something like that. And that'll give you some information about another person's experience other than my own about dreaming and what you can really do. I had a dream in probably 1996 when we were at the height of our action in Bosnia. Or Bosnia was just, you know, in such turmoil. And I can clearly remember suddenly being in a place that I didn't recognize, and there were so many people that were upset or grieving. There was such great sadness, and just trying to assist in any way that I could. And when I awakened in the morning, I thought, where was that? Where was I? And the word Bosnia kind of came into my mind. So there is a night ministry in which you, if you become a conscious being, can go to any place on this planet. Really, you can go anywhere in the universe. But to do the work here, which is where our focus is because we're in a physical body, you can go to places like Bosnia or what's the place that's having such difficulty right now? Yes, East Timor. And assist the people there to find a peaceful solution. And when there is loss of life or military upset or fighting, war or whatever, you can help those who are leaving to understand what's happened. It's like giving a blessing. They're all our brothers and sisters, and there are people in the world that are doing that work very consciously. And of course, those of us who don't do that kind of night ministry at this time, we can always add our prayers and our thoughtful blessings, that kind of thing. Because every time you see war anywhere in the world, what's really trying to happen there is the next level of consciousness is trying to evolve and awaken in the hearts of those people. And they're really looking for the right way to govern themselves. It only appears that it's extremely chaotic, backward, or terrible. You know, out of terrible comes goodness, always. We just have to see through that to the truth that's trying to appear there. So anyway, this idea of a night ministry is not new. It's very, very ancient. I came across it, I think, in, I'm trying to remember, Alice Bailey's work. I think it's Alice Bailey that speaks about the night ministry. And you can minister to your family and friends. I've had people tell me that I've appeared at their bedsides at night and given them healing. I have no conscious memory of that many times, but I've had that kind of feedback, so I know that there is an aspect of me that is conscious doing that work. It's just that my brain isn't always wired to recall that sometimes. I'm working on that part, trying to get better about that. The other thing I want to say about dream recall is there's so much that's been written about the psychological level of the memory of dreams, and that's all good and well, but there's such a deeper perspective and a deeper understanding of what the soul's work is through this body that we reside in. And to have that perspective, you have to have some kind of spiritual practice, some kind of spiritual upbringing or perspective. And if you have that, you have the ability then to get the deeper meanings of your dreams instead of just the overt, well, let's see, I was driving a car and I took Grandma to the store and I guess maybe I'm going to see Grandma today or something. Really, there's probably a much deeper level to that symbology. And if you have spirituality in your life on any level, you can begin to go deeper. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as I go on here. Now, the other part of this, of course, with having a spiritual practice is, it's paradoxical, but to develop yourself spiritually, you must not speed up, you must slow down. That means a prayer life, meditation, reverie, contemplative prayer, periods of journaling, or any kind of insightful work that you do. There's a song that the Eagles sing, and there's a great line from that song. It says, learn to be still. And that's really what you have to do if you want to have a greater memory of your dreams. You must have that still, calm place within yourself in order for that memory to come up easier and easier. Well, let's talk about the levels of dreaming a little bit. That baby is so sweet. It's like a real baby. Let's see. The first thing I want to say, I guess, is that there are basically two levels of dreamers. There's your average Joe dreamer, which is just anyone who's here living their life, you know, paying the bills, earning the dollars, I don't know, sending the kids off to school and having their beer parties on the weekend or whatever. Nothing against that. I love beer. But they're just kind of existing, you know. It's just, well, I get up in the morning and I get dressed and I eat breakfast and I go to the job and then I come home and I eat dinner and turn on the TV and then we go to bed and we sleep. That kind of life. There's no deeper perspective. People with that kind of existence generally have mostly dreams that are purifying in nature. They just, the soul will come in at night and give them information and help them to detoxify all the stuff that they've been interested in, curious about. Maybe they watch a lot of TV, you know. It just takes a lot of energy to clear all of that out so the higher mind can begin to work. And usually if that's your lifestyle, that's all that gets done every night. There's hardly any chance for anything on a much higher level. But if you are on the path at all, if you're trying to live an honorable life, if you love people in general, if you love life in general, and you are hopeful and longing of a better world, you know, for all of humanity, if you have integrity and honesty and any principles at all in your life that are of a little bit higher level, then the dreams that you are going to have are beyond clearinghouse kinds of dreams. They're going to be instructive. They're going to be initiatory in nature. They're going to expand all of your soul qualities so that you can flow that through this body. The soul can be more fully present in the body. You'll have greater physical energy, greater emotional stability, greater mental clarity and focus, and a bigger spiritual life. That's It's a great gift. I kind of wish this dream thing were talked about more from the time that we're little. You know, that's really when we need it. And I haven't mentioned that yet, but that's one of the best things parents can do for children is listen to their dreams. When my kids were at home, and we still do this even when we get together now. My kids are now, 28 and 25. Have you had a good dream lately, you know? Well, I had this dream, Mom, and I've got this part, but I can't go any deeper with that. What else could be happening here? And we started that when the kids were little. And it is sacred work. It is sacred work. So I just put that out there because I think it's a real gift to children when they're very young. Okay. So those of us that are kind of on the path, we're going to have much more expanded experiences. And your dreams will be less dogmatic. And you won't get as much of this kind of instructing stuff about stay away from these people, you need to be with these people, or don't watch so much TV, or it'll just be on a much higher level. I guess that's all I need to say about that. And then the other part of this levels of dreams is there are two major activities that happen in everyone's dream life who's at least somewhat awakened. So every night when you go to sleep in your dreams, you either are an observer or you're a participant. And the observer is the witness gaining instruction. Almost always you're observing some kind of a drama. And the deeper level of that drama is that you are being taught something on a much deeper level than what the conscious mind might get. That's where your spiritual life comes into play, because you can pray about that and ask for insight, you know, and wisdom to discern the deeper levels. And then the other part, of course, is, observing or participant? I said observing. I'm confused here. Okay, participant. when you're participating in a dream, you are really being initiated for the most part. It might appear that you're just climbing a mountain and sitting with a group of people in a beautiful forest glade or whatever, but you're really being initiated on an inner level. So that's where the skill of interpreting your own dream symbols becomes very important. And I'll give you some tips on symbology a little bit later. But I'll share with you just briefly to give you an example of this. I had a client in England named Mark, a really lovely young man. He's only 18 or 19. And Mark, unfortunately, lost his life through murder. His life was taken from him. It's never been fully figured out exactly what happened. But I was in contact with his family, and he has two beautiful sisters and a younger brother, and they all adored Mark. Mark was kind of the father figure since the father was dead. And I had a dream one time where Mark came to me. Actually, he was calling to me from this mountain top, and I thought to myself, wow, that is a long way up there in the dream. But I think I could do it. So I started trudging up this mountain, and the higher I went, the harder it became, and it just seemed like an enormous effort, but I kept looking up at the top of this mountain, and there was a whole group of people up there, and they all seemed to be so excited about something. I thought, gosh, there must be some teacher up there that's giving a great instruction of some sort, or a real powerful talk. And Mark kept going, come on, little, you can do it. I know you can do it. Come on up. And I finally got to the top, and in the dream, I was really exhausted, and I looked around. All these people just kind of smiled at me and nodded their heads. And there was a place for me, and I sat down, and then this teacher gave a fabulous teaching. And Mark was sitting beside me, and when I awoke in the morning, I knew that I had been out of my body at night and had gone to visit Mark in some kind of temple setting, which my mind interpreted as a mountain in the higher levels of what we think of as the first heaven, which is called the astral world. And to get there, you have to have a heightened consciousness. You cannot just go there easily. It takes some actual growth and spiritual progression, and it takes stick-to-itiveness, you know, to really progress and get there. Anyway, that was such a gift to me, and I was able to call his family and tell them about this amazing dream that I had. And in the dream, of course, Mark told me how well he was doing and to please tell my family, you know, I'm happy, I'm safe, forget about the old body, it doesn't matter, the real me is here. And his sister had received similar communication. So it was just a wonderful experience all the way around. That's the kind of dream that when you have a dream like that, you go, wow, there's so much more, you know, and I want more of that to be present in this life. So that's the kind of dreams we can all aspire to. Let me talk briefly about the sober cord, because you'll be hearing about this if you do any research in dreams at all. First of all, let me give you a little background. We have more than just this physical body. We are multidimensional. So the soul starts out from spirit, source, God, Holy Father, however you like to think of it. And the soul begins its journey into incarnation. And as it does so, it moves through all the different heaven worlds. The paradise realms, the mental, the emotional, which is the astral realm, until down into the physical. And when it gets its energy down into the physical with God's help, it builds a template for a physical body. And that template is called the etheric body. And the etheric is just a little bigger than this body. And when you look at people, if you let your inner sight begin to open, you'll be able to easily see a little glow usually around them. Like, I can easily see it, except for the bright light on this side around all of you, because this room is not really bright. And you can feel it if you run your hand really close to the physical body. You can feel a little prickliness sometimes, or a little sort of like cottony feeling. I don't know how to express that. Or some people feel a little buzzing or a vibration of some sort. That is your template for this physical body. And so the etheric body, that pattern, has two parts to itself, the lesser etheric and the higher etheric. And at night when you go to sleep, the lesser etheric stays with this body and helps it regenerate. All of the seven sacred centers, the chakras, rebuild themselves and let go of old stuff. You know, there's lots of work going on while you sleep. And it takes care of all your organs and your respirations and the heart. All of those things happen. Then the higher etheric leaves with your other bodies, or the whole soul, and goes and has its experiences out of the body at night. And generally speaking, that's called the astral body, or the everlasting body in the very old way of thinking of it. Now, how come this body doesn't just conk out while everything's out there? The reason it doesn't is because the astral body is attached with a silver cord, usually to the solar plexus, but I've seen it on people in other places in their body, but this is generally it. And the silver cord is a vapor-like, how to express, when I've seen it, it looks kind of like smoke or a film or a real gauzy-looking thing. And it can stretch forever. There's no time and space except for this body. So it can go on forever, which is why you can travel out and this body stays perfectly asleep and trying to understand the experiences that are happening. The brain tries to compute that. So when you have these experiences of falling asleep at night and boom, you're suddenly jerked awake, or you have this electric shock that goes through your body or whatever when you're just dropping off, what that is the astral body slamming back in because you didn't relax deeply enough, or you haven't learned to fly well enough yet is another way to think of it, and you got out there a ways and then you kind of, something happened. Either this body got awakened by, I don't know, somebody flushed a toilet, or a car started up, the refrigerator turned on, and, you know, you get jerked back in. So that's what that release mechanism is all about, that you experience sometimes when you're just dropping to sleep, or when you're waking up in the morning suddenly, and you get startled, you know, and your heart is just pounding like crazy. It's because you had a bad landing, and you came back in, but you slammed into the body, basically, is what that's all about. So, the only time the silver cord ever detaches is when the soul has its permission from God to release from the body, and what we call death occurs, and the physical body dies. And that's the only time when you can never be detached. That's why you're always safe when you're out at night in the dream world. Not only does your guardian angel go with you in dreams at night, but there are many angels that work with dreamers, taking them to the different temples and the different places where they can gain wisdom, or gain strength and good health, or a clearer mind, whatever it might be. So you're always safe. You don't have to worry about that. Anybody have any questions at this point? I keep forgetting to ask if you have questions, so, you know, slow me down or...
Yeah, you know, like that got me feeling. When I first started doing martial arts, the teacher talked about chi and how you could feel it. Like,
yes.
Between your hands, and you kind of sponge you and breathe.
Yes,
and
that's a good way to put it.
Just sponge you. And is that the same thing?
It's really similar. But, Chi would be the actual spirit, kind of, or how can I say this, the life force itself, where the etheric is the actual pattern that the soul builds the physical body on. So you have chi or ki or kundalini or shakti. Those are all the same terms or life force energy, or the universal energy that ensouls everything. Does that make sense, Paul?
So does the ethereal body, is that like produced from the chi? Can the soul use that as?
Yes. Yeah, that's what the soul uses, I believe, to create all down the, as it steps its energy down through the different multidimensional layers.
And does that feel similar?
Yes. I think so. And it's got that energy, and it's a little bit larger than this body. It's like a shadow around us, if you can see it.
In between your hands, this far.
Yes. Well, now, the auric field is different. Now, it sounds to me like you might be talking about the auric field, which is another thing, your electromagnetic body that is the result of all your bodies being present and flowing through you, through this physical body. And the aura has these different energy levels. For most people, it's out about 2 feet. The etheric body is in real close to the physical. That's the only difference. And it's the pattern. But it's all made from the same life force. Your auric field is an emanation or electrical radiation that comes about through your thoughts, your experiences, your emotions, your feelings. It carries all of your impressions and all that stuff.
And I just had a sharing when you're talking about when you were a kid, about looking forward to going to sleep.
Yeah.
Because you dream. Well, when I was in the hospital after an accident for a long time, I couldn't sit up.
Yes.
It was wonderful to go to sleep because I could go anywhere.
Yes.
I could do anything. And I was perfectly whole and I could fly.
Yes.
Very cool.
Yeah. And that's really true.
But I didn't get to do that without having been put in that place where I couldn't do anything else. I was distracted. You're distracted by life all the time. And go to sleep and get up. The kind of rote life that you live. But
yes.
This way, it was the only place for me to get away from the bummer casino.
Yeah. That's so great that you remembered it, though. You know, a lot of people just kind of zone out and don't have any recall at all.
Well, the doctor actually is very concerned because I slept an awful lot. he suggested that they get me a TV to distract me.
Oh, no.
Yes. Stay awake.
See, that's where medicine is going to be awakening more and more. Television is the worst thing to have in a hospital room. It's just the worst. I see this with the dying. I do hospice work, and if I go to the hospital and my patient's in the hospital, the TV's up there blaring. The first thing I want to do is ask their permission to turn that off. And you can just see them relax and let go if they're ready to do their work before they leave. They want to talk to you or they want somebody to hear them. They want to tell you about their dreams or who they just saw or whatever. But, you know, that hasn't come that far yet. I think it will in the future. There's a little verse from the Bible about the silver cord that I just love that I wanted to share with you. And I'm not sure which version of the Bible. This might have come from the King James or the New Jerusalem. I'm not sure. But this is from the book of Ecclesiastes, and you can look it up. It's chapter 12, a few verses in chapter 12. Man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets, or ever the silver cord be loosed. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. And so the long home, of course, is heaven, you know, paradise, the paradise world. Mourners going about the streets, so death has occurred, or ever the silver cord be loosed. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, the body goes back to whence it came, and the spirit goes home, back to God, back to source. So I love that because it's rare that you can find things in biblical or even the great literature of the Western world that really speaks clearly and succinctly to the esoteric teachings that I like to talk about. And this is one instance where that is very clear, I think. Let me talk just briefly about how seasons affect your dreams. This, everything in this world is very cyclical, and we have our seasons for everything. And so we're in autumn right now, and autumn is a time when your own guardian angel and your own soul are trying to get you to review what you've done this year. And look at the harvest that you're reaping right now. What are the lessons that you garnered? What is it that you need to finish before the year ends? What do you need to do that you didn't do yet, so you're going to do it next year probably, and that one will be in the spring work.